Unlock the past and safeguard your memories with scanmyphotos.com. Here's our special promo code, GODIGITAL, to get a whopping up to 50% off your photo scanning order. Don't let your cherished moments fade away. Digitize them now with precision and care. Whether it's old slides, photos, or films, bring them into the digital age and relive those precious memories. This is an affiliate promotion, meaning we may earn a commission if you take advantage of this fantastic deal. Act fast, preserve your history, and save big with Go Digital at scanmyphotos.com. Hi, I'm Maureen Taylor, the photo detective. I really love family photographs, all of them, from the mystery images you find in shoeboxes and albums to the pictures you snap with your digital devices. No mystery is too small. A simple question about an image can lead to new stories of your ancestors. This means you can count on me to help you identify the people in them, offer solutions for preserving and organizing them, and yes, even guide you in the various ways to gather and share picture stories with your relatives. My guest today is Amanda Meeks of permanent.org, and they have a program called Bite for Bite that I can't wait for all of you to hear about. It helps nonprofits. So Amanda, thank you so much for being on The Photo Detective.
Thank you so much for having me, Maureen. I am super excited to be here and to chat with you a little bit about Bite for Bite. So I have been with Permanent since February as their community and partnerships manager. Prior to that, I worked in academic libraries, so I'm a professional trained librarian. And I'm also an artist and an end-of-life doula. One of my primary responsibilities in that role is managing the Bite for Bite grant program. So through storage grants for our nonprofit partners, primarily across the United States, we ensure that future generations have access to the diverse and vibrant legacies of past and present individuals, organizations, and movements. And that is directly in line with our primary mission, which is to preserve the legacies of all people.
But you don't, it's not just for historical societies or public libraries. I mean, you have a lot of different community-based organizations that you support through the Bite for Bite program.
Yeah, we do. We have community-run organizations. We are especially interested in bringing on more partners who are working on disaster relief efforts in their communities or at large. Right now, we are trying to find a way to help people in the Ukraine preserve their materials. And we're also interested in working with people who are doing pilot work, including first-time digitization and digital preservation efforts, as well as public archives, exhibitions, and then community-driven programs. So think about like community archiving and bringing novices into that experience and that process. And then lastly, we also really want to work with organizations and collections that represent and uplift underrepresented communities and narratives.
So how does this work? I did see an announcement from you about applying for both storage and maybe some sort of grant for an internship.
So we provide up to 100 gigabytes of storage for our Bite for Bite partners, and that amount is also something that can be adjusted as on a as-need basis. But we also, as of now, are starting an internship program specifically for Bite for Bite partners, where we're working with libraries, archives, and museums programs, so master's programs typically, to bring in students who've had archival training and digital preservation training to help smaller community organizations who maybe either don't have an archivist on site or their archivist needs help expanding their own capacity to do larger digital preservation projects.
So 100 gig, that's a lot of storage space.
Yeah. And We typically, a gigabyte is $10 on our website. It's a $10 donation. So that, you know, comes out to about $1,000 in-kind donation to other nonprofits for us.
But with 100 gig, you can store a lot of material.
Yeah, you can store a lot of material.
So that's for a small historical society or community-based organization. That could well exceed what they currently have in their collection and then give them space to grow. Are there rules for participating? I mean, do they have to make all of this stuff publicly available? I mean, obviously, that's probably something they want to do anyway. But what are the rules for participating?
That's a great question. So the rules are pretty simple. We don't require anything to be public, but we do encourage folks to create public archives or do something that engages their community with the archival collection that they're digitizing or using permanent for. It's not a requirement, but it's strongly encouraged, and it's something that we look for in the applications.
And what kind of information does an organization need to supply as part of the application process?
Sure. So the application is very short. It includes basic information about the organization, a little bit of background and those on the project managers, and then a brief timeline and description of the project that you have in mind.
Interesting.
Yeah. This is a fairly new program also. So I'm not entirely sure how many years it's been around. I think maybe only a couple. It was started by our executive director, Robert Friedman, and it really came out of a growing partnership with Their Story. So Their Story is an oral history recording platform who we work with and we have an integration with, so that their materials, their oral histories that people are creating using their platform, have a long-term preservation option with Permanent. So they can automatically take their stuff from Their Story and upload it into Permanent. So there were several organizations who were working with Their Story, and then they wanted a way to keep those collections around since Their Story doesn't have a significant amount of storage capabilities built into it.
And what's the application deadline for this cycle? Because it's two cycles a year, right?
Yeah, so we accept applications year round, and the deadlines for review will be August 1st. So that's coming up in about a month, and March 1st.
March 1st. Okay. Yeah. And who makes the decision? Is it the permanent board? Is there a special committee that meets?
I am working on putting together a committee of individuals who, it'll be myself, another permanent staff member, and I'm hoping to bring in one of our Byte for Byte partners to help assess the applications.
It's so important. A lot of smaller organizations just don't have the technical, might not have the technical knowledge and expertise to preserve their collections in this particular way. Or, you can search permanent, so you can search their collections and they can link to their collection on their websites.
Yes.
There's nothing
absolutely
to stop. Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the biggest barriers for small organizations to creating their own digital archives and collections is just the fact that they don't have their own servers. They don't have servers or a way to keep things safe and to create multiple copies. So, of course, a lot of them are collecting items and putting them on hard drives. But as we all know, multiple copies, or I think it's many copies keep things safe. Lots of copies keep things safe. That's what it is, locks. And so we want to be there to help be a backup, but also provide a public platform for people who want to share those collections beyond their brick and mortar spaces.
So who are your current participants that have applied and received funds for Byte for Byte?
We have a really diverse group of participants right now, And it's not a huge number of folks. I'd say we have about 10 active organizations who are participating currently, and they range. So we work with one organization that I just love so much called E4 Youth in Austin, Texas. And they're a youth-based organization. They primarily provide support and training and resources for young people of color to break into the creative fields that they want to. And so they have had they've been a Byte for Byte partner from the very beginning. And we also work with organizations like small museums like the Peel in Baltimore, which is the Baltimore's community museum, is their tagline. And they have just such a rich history and so many amazing stories that they're capturing via their story and using permanent to back that up and store it long term and share it with their community.
But I notice you have like the Astoria Public Library Archive.
Yeah, we do have the Astoria Public Library as a Byte for Byte partner as well. And we, of course, want to work with libraries, museums, and archives. And we also want to work with organizations like E4 Youth, who they don't have a preservation or library or archive focus, but it is something that they realize is important to capture and share stories from their community.
So an organization applies and they hopefully it's a successful grant. Then what happens? Do you work with them? Is there advice from the permanent staff as to how to proceed, how to scan their things, how to make that transition into a digital archive? I'm looking at the Astoria Public Library and they have everything in here from cemetery records to history of the library to just general historical photographs, historical documents, including this fire insurance map. And then when I go to E4 Youth Archive, yeah, they have a virtual talk series. They have informational videos. So it really can be any sort of media that can be uploaded.
Yeah, definitely our platform allows for any type of media. And of course, with video and audio, those take up more storage space. But in the case of the Astoria Public Library, they actually hired a consultant who worked closely with us and does continue to work closely with us. And she has helped them get their archives set up in that beautiful way that you're articulating. That was actually part of why I wanted to work on an internship program, because I realized not every organization or institution is going to have the means to hire a consultant if they need it. And so I think that's where the paid internship for students can come in and really help smaller organizations build that capacity to get to the end result of a beautiful public archive.
Yeah, I'm scrolling through all the partners to see what's there. I can't wait to see who applies this cycle. I have several people that I sent them information to say, hey, this seems like something you really ought to participate in. Some are like, oh, it's too much work, but it doesn't sound like a lot of work to apply.
It's not a lot of work. Actually, we just did a webinar about the program and 5 participating partners were able to share a little bit of their insight and experience with interested organizations. And since yesterday's webinar, 2 people have already applied. So the application process is not super laborious. It's really simple. If folks need it, I also have set up a Google Doc where you can work out your answers ahead of time before adding it to the form and submitting your application officially.
Well, I'll definitely share the link to the webinar, which I watched, to get more information. This is a really good idea, and I applaud permanent for doing it. I mean, because grant applications can be laborious. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of information that you have to supply. And this is a simplified, stripped down application that if you are a staff of one, you can still do this without taking too much time away from your regular work week. It's pretty simple. And the benefits are huge.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to make the process as easy as possible for people. And really, the application is just a formality so that I understand what the projects entail and so that I can offer the type of support that each organization might need on a case-by-case basis.
How many organizations might you select this round? Or what's the goal? Like, what are you going to select now versus what you think will be the goal in a year or more?
Well, I am really hoping to double the number of participants from 10-ish, like I said, to 20-ish. I would love for, and one of the things that I'm hoping to do in the next year is really work on building a mechanism for our partners. And let me go back. We'll edit that out. One of the things that I'm really working on in the next year is building a mechanism for our members to be able to donate directly to the Bite for Bite program. So we have many individual members, thousands of individual members who are supportive of our mission overall, but there's not currently a way for them to donate directly to Bite for Bite. And so our team is working on a way for that to happen. And we're also going to be looking at other larger scale fundraising opportunities for the program. So I'm hoping to really grow it and really start to see a larger impact of the program within small and large communities across the states.
I can't wait to see this grow. It's just part of one of these almost collaborative projects, although every participant has their own individual archive. I mean, there's probably a place down the road where it'll be more collaborative. And to contact you, go to permanent.org/bite, B-Y-T-E, the number 4, B-Y-T-E, and you'll find the application and lots of information. Amanda, do you have anything else to add? Because this has been great.
I don't think so. I'm just super excited to see who applies, just like you. And I welcome questions. And I just hope that people know that if you have any concerns or reservations about applying, reach out to me and I will talk to you about whatever those concerns are and make sure you feel ready to apply when you do.
Yeah, I'm sure one of the concerns is, are we still going to retain ownership of that material?
Oh, that's a really good question. 100%. The organizations that use our platform for their collections definitely maintain ownership over their materials, both in the short term and the long term. And we never claim ownership. We never do anything with folks' data or content without explicit permission.
Well, I know that I've spoken to a lot of different organizations in the last few years, you know, the pandemic period that we're in. And so many of them have said, we really missed people using our collections. And so our focus has been on digitization. This gives them a solution.
Absolutely. And we definitely want to offer the kind of support that people need. So as we grow the program, our participants are also going to have the opportunity to give us feedback about both our platform and the support that they've received as Bite for Bite partners so that we can also continue to evolve in that way.
So they are, if they need to down the road, they can receive or apply for or pay for additional storage.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely. And then I know that Permanent backs everything up.
Yes. We have multiple locations where our materials and anything that's added to the site by our members and partners is backed up in multiple cold storage locations around the United States.
That's great. That's great. Sounds like a great plan. Amanda Meeks, permanent.org. Thank you so much for joining me on The Photo Detective.
Thank you so much, Maureen.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media, leave me a rating and a review, and if you know of a friend or family member who's also interested in family photographs, share this episode with them too. See you next time. I'm thrilled to be offering something new. Photo Investigations. These collaborative one-on-one sessions look at your family photos. You and I meet to discuss your mystery images and find out how each clue and hint might contribute to your family history. And trust me, these images can reveal so much in your research. I have decades of experience in the photo, genealogy, and history industries. This is your chance to learn from me and discover the stories in your family images. You can find out more by going to MaureenTaylor.com and clicking on Family Photo Investigations.